Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
If you start to exercise in your 20s, and maybe you're not giving a whole lot of thought to the future and what exercise really can do for you, you're just kind of looking at the now and saying, wow, it gives me nice abs, or, you know, it's making my butt a little bit littler, a little tighter. You know, that's great to think of all those things, but what if you could look into the future and say that the exercise you do today can possibly ward off dementia when you get older? My guest is Dr. John Higgins, one of our favorite guests here on Train Your Body. He's a sports cardiologist at the UT Health Science Center at Houston. Welcome to the show, Dr. Higgins. Tell us about...
Hey, Melanie. Thank you. And hey, you remembered my name, so you're not suffering from any dementia or brain problems right now.
Not yet, I'm not. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think too much when I was in my 20s about what exercise would do for me now that I am approaching... Wow, the big halfway point. So, you know, do we look to the future? Do we just say exercise is good for you? What is the study that actually shows dementia and exercise in this link?
Well, this study was a pretty nicely done study. It was of around about 2,000 or so folks who were aged between 25 and 49 from Cardiff in Wales. And they actually looked at a bunch of different health behaviors. There are actually five health behaviors they looked at. They looked at regular exercise, whether they smoked or not, whether their body weight was optimal or they were overweight, whether they were following a healthy diet, and whether they were consuming alcohol in moderation. And what they found is that when they looked at these folks and they followed them quite a number of years until they were older, and they looked at whether or not they developed dementia or they developed cognitive impairment, and they found that there was a 60% reduction in dementia and cognitive decline if they had four or more of those characteristics that we talked about, but the strongest was for exercise. So exercise really seemed to make a difference for these people and reduce their ability to require folks to help them later on because they couldn't remember things.
Okay, so the exercise component of this study, was it looking at walking, running, cardiovascular exercise? Was it looking at all different types of exercise? Because I've heard that yoga and meditation and those kinds of deep breathing and relaxation exercises can also help with brain, but were they mainly looking at blood flow exercises, cardiovascular?
They did find that they described kind of more vigorous activity, for example. However, they did actually use walking as one of the activities. So, for example, if someone was walking more miles each day, or cycling, you know, 10 or more miles each day, and they actually found that while it was mainly aerobic, they actually looked at the total amount of, or the volume of exercise, the total time. And they really, not only did it help prevent dementia and brain problems later on, but there was, as we would expect, a significant reduction in cardiovascular risk factors like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, as well as a significant reduction in heart disease and stroke. So, again, you know, just thinking about our last segment, it really is looking like the exercise having a major effect both on the physical and on the mental aspects of health.
Well, we certainly know, Dr. Higgins, that exercise is medicine and should be the most oft-prescribed medication in the world. However, how much are we talking about? I know, you know, we try and get people to do 10,000 steps a day or 150 minutes a week. What is what the study said was kind of the minimum that could actually ward off dementia?
Well, it appears that it was the minimum was around about 20 to 30 minutes of exercise / activity that would be able to get someone's heart rate up and cause them to breathe a little bit faster. And that could be acquired any type of way. The interesting thing was, you know, for example, Melanie, someone who was walking to work or riding to work, for example, it didn't have to be okay, you know, outside of work. So they actually incorporated all of the exercise that the people were doing with regard to coming to and from work, because a lot of these folks were still, you know, active in the workforce. So I think, and with a lot of these new devices that are out there on the market that we have for monitoring activity levels, I think that may be a good way for people to get a gauge and a handle on, you know, how much exercise they're doing and to really start tracking it. And exercise, you know, for example, taking the stairs at work, parking your car a little bit further so you can walk, and doing some of the things during the day, that all seems to add up, according to this study.
Wow. And, you know, one of the things I like to tell people to do, Dr. Higgins, is wear a pedometer, because that way you can kind of keep track and see really, truly what you're doing in a day and give you that sort of accountability that will say, you know what, you're really not doing maybe quite as much as you thought you were.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's a really great point, Melanie. Almost all of the studies that they've looked at, when they've given people a pedometer, they ask them, well, you know, how many steps do you think you're doing in a day? And then they actually put it on and measured it. Almost all of the studies, the people overestimated by a large factor how much they were actually doing. And they were really shocked, some of them. And then they started actually getting up to a more realistic goal or target. For example, you know, walking 10,000 steps in a day. And a lot of these really neat devices, which I've heard are one of the top sellers for the Christmas gifts this Christmas in this country, are that they can connect to your smartphone and other devices, and so you can kind of get instant feedback. In fact, I've got a couple of friends of mine who are friends on Facebook, and they actually they'll occasionally post some of their data online, and it'll, you know, say, for example, I just walked 2,000 steps at lunchtime, you know, and it's kind of really neat, because they're starting to have a little bit of competitions, you know, with some of the other people at work who can actually get the most steps in the day, and so it's kind of a fun way to keep fit and keep a handle on how much you're doing.
Well, I love the competition factor of it, really, because even with my kids, Dr. Higgins, I always will say, you know, which of us gets the most steps this week or this day? You get to pick the movie that we're going to watch all together this weekend. Ooh. Or anything like that. And kids love competition. So my little one, she'll run up and down the stairs 50 times just to, you know, really win the race. But, you know, dementia, exercise, when we think of the future, and this study, you know, I mean, I don't understand kind of how they can always tell these things that many years in advance, but give us your best advice for what you think it's truly going to do for our brain function, even in the here and now, much less 40 years in the future.
Well, I know, Melanie, that there's been a lot of studies, particularly published with the American College of Sports Medicine and other journals, which have consistently shown that people who are exercising do have improved endothelial function. And that improved endothelial or vascular function is going on not only in your heart, in your legs, in your organs, but also in your brain. And we know that when you have better blood flow regulation to various parts of the brains, those parts of the brains can work faster, more efficiently, and better when they need to. So when the need arises for a mental task, they can handle it. For a physical task, they can handle it better. And also to remember things that have been learned during the day. So I think what we're seeing now is that these sort of effects short-term are very helpful for people, but it appears that long-term, this may be, in a way, a kind of a vaccine, as it were, against having long-term vascular changes which are going to result in dementia and other cognitive impairments. So a healthy lifestyle definitely is, we know it's associated with disease-free survival, but now reduced cognitive impairment down both in the now and in the future. So exercise is a great medicine, not only for the body, but for the mind.
Wow, that is a fantastic way to close out this segment, and a vaccine against possible dementia. What a great thing to think about, you know, and reduce cognitive impairment. Exercise is medicine. You heard it here right on Radio MD, and the show is Train Your Body. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.